Heavenly Father, we come before you this afternoon. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your experience that brings us life. Thank you that your son went through despair so that we can find hope. Lord, as I share your word with your people, I pray you would help me to share that which you want them to hear. And I pray that all of us would take away from today something that would deepen our relationship with you and with one another for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are grateful for the Word of God, which gives us the account of what was happening on Good Friday, a difficult day, and one that brings us hope. Though it is difficult for Jesus, his disciples, his own mother, difficult for us as Christians, it is how hope is brought out in this upside-down approach. I start with a question for you. When you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up? Firefighter, a doctor, an astronaut? Maybe a superhero, maybe a Superman or a Superwoman. I remember telling my parents I wanted to be a policeman. They always laughed because the policemen were feared by lots of people. They still are in my little village in Kenya. But as I got older, the dreams became serious and the answers do change with time. When I was preparing this, I wondered, if this question was posed on Jesus, what would he say? The little baby of Christmas, that little one wrapped in cloth, born in a manger, where there was no room. As he grew older, at the age of 12, he says to his parents, I want to be about my father's business. I want to be doing God's will when I grow up. And so Good Friday is the climax of his story as he fulfills the purposes of why he came to the world. With a staggering cost in Gethsemane, the night yesterday, the story of Gethsemane, he is in deep grief because of the separation that will happen between him and his father, who they had been together for all eternity. So our posture of our scripture and our teaching this afternoon is the despair that Jesus went through. The separation between him and God in the awareness that he knew what he wanted to be when he grew up. And what he was to be was not something easy, because what he was to be was to take up yours and my sins. And so John gives us this powerful narration of the passion story, and he goes through it. He does miss a few bits that are in other three Gospels, but he gives us a really clear indication of what was happening. He shows the cost of Jesus' death on the cross. John 18:1 says, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples. They're afraid. We've seen Peter's betrayal or denial of him. They're afraid. They really don't know what's happening. It's chaotic. This man who they celebrated on Palm Sunday, this man who they thought would help them overcome the Roman Empire, he's giving in to the powers that be. But I will take back to the story that Cain read first in Genesis. Abraham's son Isaac was not killed. He did not die, but God promised that one day he would provide. And this moment, the moment of Good Friday, this time the son will not be spared. He won't. The human sacrifice of Isaac would not have been sufficient. It's only a gift of God, the perfect Son of God. He only can help us out. And so he doesn't want just to overthrow the Roman Empire. He wants to transform our hearts. He wants to get to the depth of our iniquities, our struggle, our transgressions, which is our human heart. He wants to transform that. And so he gives in to the powers of the world so that when he goes down that route to be destroyed, there would arise life that will never be destroyed. He went through the desperation so that you and me will never, ever feel the separation of God eternally. So there's four sections to this. Jesus surrenders himself so that we can be free. So he surrenders himself for our freedom. And the people who try to stop him, as we had yesterday Cain mentioning, Peter tried to stop him. He said, "Get away from me, Satan," because he has to go to the cross. He has to surrender himself. He does it willingly. He takes on his future job, what he wanted to be, willingly. Jesus submits to his arrest so we could be freed from the grip of sin. The reason why he's offering himself is so that you and me can be untethered from the evil one who lets sin to thrive in us. It is not a demonstration of weakness. It is the true example of power. Think of any sin that you can think of. If you even go back to the Ten Commandments, murder, adultery, envy, all of these things, as Jesus moves towards the cross, he will take those on himself. He will become sin. And so that when that sin that he becomes is nailed on the cross, our debt is paid. Our debt is paid. And on Easter Sunday, we can say our debt is paid in full. Because if you serve your sentence, for those who have awareness of people who have been in jail, if you serve your sentence to the full completion, the indication of your freedom is when you walk out of that jail. There is hope because in 3 days, he walks out of that jail. So today I can say he has paid the debt. On Sunday we can say he has paid it in full when he resurrects. So the first thing is he surrenders himself so that you and I can be free. The second one, he deals with the injustices of the world. He surrenders himself to the cruelty of our human system and the evil one, so that we might find justice. We look at our world today and we wonder, when will things ever change? And for those people, especially when you look at the Holy Land, and I know most of us that this is something, a topic that is weighing heavily on us. And it's not a political taking of position, but there is human life being lost in the cruelty of human political power interaction. And we ask ourselves, when will we find justice? So when Jesus surrendered himself to the injustices of our human system, he finds justice in resurrection. The crowd shouted, "Crucify him!" And he allowed their voices to prevail. He allowed himself to be crucified so that when he overcomes that, because of the power of that and the human heart's transformation, we can see hope. I know there is a lot of chaos in our world, and I know there is a lot of evil, even in our small areas. It's not just the macro, in the micro interactions of our human life, in our day-to-day life, there are things that we really struggle with. But because Jesus deals with the deepest of our struggles, because Jesus' desire is to transform the human heart, we can have hope that those who align themselves with him almost like a dancing choreographer, as they learn, as we learn the ways of Jesus, we can start to live our lives differently. We can start to be as loving, caring, and kind, compassionate, all those wonderful things that we find in his example. When he transforms our hearts, justice can be served when the systems align with him. But brothers and sisters, I have to tell you, even if it doesn't happen on this side of our life, because lots of people die before they see justice, the promise of hope is that he will come again and bring that hope that we may not find on this side. So freedom, justice. The second thing is forgiveness of sins. He is called the King of the Jews. He brings forgiveness to those who love him. He brings that hope, because what happens is there is an exchange. When he takes away our iniquities, he gives us his hope. His ways of being are transferred to us. There's a big exchange happening, such that when God looks at you and me, he doesn't see a sinner. He sees someone who Jesus has rescued. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him shall not perish." So the reality of forgiveness is those who believe in him, he will not destroy them. He will not take them out of the equation. They will find life and life everlasting. So that whatever wrong or sin you have done, let me call it sin because that's what the scripture calls it, Jesus looks at you and says, "I paid the price for you. You and me." He sees that. So when we see him die on the cross, he has to do that so that you and I can be forgiven. So the barrier that sits between you and God can be taken away. There is hope. There is hope. Because all of the time of our life, we struggle. Sometimes we do things wrong and we wonder whether we can be able to find hope and reconciliation. And sometimes the problem is you do it today and then you say sorry. And tomorrow you do it again and then you say sorry. And you wonder, when is it going to stop? When am I going to stop falling into the wrongdoings of life? But Jesus says, "I am with you. I have paid the price for you. Remember, I have done it." One uniqueness of the Christian faith is that all other religions say, try and do it so that you can earn salvation. The Good Friday message says, it's done. It's done. He has paid the price of our iniquities. In full, he has paid it. Tom Wright says, what happens on Good Friday is an unleashing of a new kingdom power. Is a new revolution starts, because Jesus surrenders. He takes away our sins and our iniquities. And in his surrender, we can find hope. We can go back to him. That's why all our services on Sundays and other days are always starting with a confession and a declaration of this same forgiveness. So what of your sins and wrongs is worrying you today? Hand that to him on this Good Friday. Hand it to him each day. Hand it to him because he did this for you. Don't hold on to it. Let go of it into him, and he will release true life into your life. And the final one is hope. So we've looked at freedom, justice, forgiveness, and now hope. I'm so pleased that John mentions this guy who comes here with a lot of spices. 100 pounds, I read, Nicodemus. Do you remember Nicodemus? He showed up in one of the evenings. He had to show up secretly because he knew something was happening in Jesus. Welcome. Thank you for joining us. We are looking at the Passion narrative on John 18 and 19, which is a powerful story on the Good Friday. And we've looked at Jesus dying on the cross, how that gives us freedom, how that gives us justice, how it gives us forgiveness, and now we are looking at how that gives us hope. It's a message of hope. this guy Nicodemus, he was the one who he helped us to have that John 3:16 verse. It is his interaction with Jesus. Out of that interaction, that Bible verse arises as he asks Jesus, "What do you mean? I'm a grown man. When you say I need to be born again, what does that mean?" And what we see in this hope is we immerse ourselves in Jesus' experience and we come out as a different person. This is what hope looks like. Jesus gives us hope beyond our despair. His desire is that our life will not end in torment. Our lives, and it's not just beyond life, it's not beyond death. Jesus wants you and me to not live miserable lives. He wants to change our narrative. I know lots of people find it hard. They give up, and it's difficult when things get hard. But Jesus wants you to find hope today. And not just today, but beyond death. He wants to give you the hope for the life you're living today. He doesn't want us to be mourners and pitiable people. He wants to give life to me and to you. In our frustrations, he wants to give true hope. So if there's something that's giving you despair, something that's making you frustrated and you're worried about, give that to him. Because his desire is to give you hope. Hope. What a wonderful word. So this afternoon, Jesus asks you, will you, because of what I did on the cross, will you live in freedom? Will you receive his forgiveness? Will you trust him when you face injustices as the one who will give you justice? Will you trust his justice? Will you trust his mercy? And will you join his victory over death? Will you join his victory over death? Because that's the most hopeful thing, that he overcame the worst of our human fears. If you ask people about their phobias and fears, most of those fears, they're fears because somehow they might cause death. But Jesus goes and overcomes death. That is where our story will go on Sunday. Do come back and join us at 10 o'clock for the last bit of this story, the bit of the debt being paid in full. Let us pray. Jesus, only in a few minutes I have shared your word, but I know this story is bigger than this, and I pray that of what I have said, whatever is helpful and from you, you would help me and your children gathered here to respond to it. I pray you would help us all to find hope, to find forgiveness, to find justice, and to find freedom in you this day and always. But also I pray that as we go out there, we will not keep this message just to ourselves, but that we would share it with others so that they too would come to the knowledge of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.